Well, it's very cold this morning, and I know that some people have a difficult time coming here. And I'm glad that it didn't snow. Sometimes it did snow, and we had to pay attention to whether we're going to cancel worship or not. And one thing that you'll probably notice already that we rarely, rarely cancel worship service. Right? And even though it's snowing, and unless it's a declared state emergency, sometimes even though they declare state emergencies, if the parking lot is clear, we will try to make it available to the brothers and sisters for you to come in to worship. And of course, those of you who find it too dangerous to get on the road will tell you to stay home. Have you wonder why that we are so reluctant to cancel the worship service on Sundays? Well, some people probably say, oh, they want to get the offering in. Not. Definitely not. But we try very, very hard not to cancel Sunday service, and we pray very hard for brother and sister's safety for you to come in here. Because worship is so important. Worship is very, very important. Then I think that will beg a question from you, like, why is it so important? Now, let me tell you why it's so important. Okay, first of all, because we all worship. Okay, we are all wired to worship. I don't care who you are. Chinese worship, Americans worship, Republicans worship, Democrats worship. It doesn't matter what your political conviction is, you worship. Everyone, if you're a human being, you always worship. You either worship the true God, or you're going to worship something as a substitute. So, because by definition, worship is to show a great reverence and honor to someone, to regard with great respect or devotion. So by that definition, we all worship someone or something. You either worship the true God, or some people would make up our own God for themselves to worship. Then you have Buddha, you have all these different names. Gods everywhere you go is a universal thing that we do. And the people who, even atheists worship. A very famous writer, David Foster Wallace, he himself is not a religious person, and he said, look, there's no true worship, no true atheist. There's no such thing as true atheism. Everybody worship, because if you don't worship the true God, you don't worship any spiritual being, you're going to worship somebody. And some of you, some people may worship rock stars. You follow what they do. I can't even say the name, contestants, right? People follow these famous families. They would try to wear whatever they wear. I can't say his name. I mean, you do. You know the name, that you're in trouble. Because I don't follow them. I just know the existence. And some people follow sports heroes. And some people you admire, you adore your boyfriends and girlfriends, and they become your God. Some people even worship their children, babies. And some people worship knowledge, money, and power. And some people worship your work. So we all worship because it's built-in desire that you all worship. You can't find God to worship, you'll find something else to fill that void. The same way that we need to eat, we need to drink. When you're terribly hungry, you eat anything. The Chinese eat everything. Because we are poor, right? Everything they see, whether it's move or doesn't move, they find a way to eat it, right? They eat cockroaches, they eat rats. Right? So those of you spend time with the older Chinese people, you say, ew. Because there's a need to eat, and you drink. Have you heard the people that in the military, they actually drink their own urine when they were trapped? Okay? You say, ew, let me tell you. You drink it too. When I was building my business, it's not always it's so glamorous. So I started off very, very small, so I had to do everything on my own. I had to go to a little warehouse and prepare the recipe for the cook so that they can do it. They can cook without changing my putting crazy recipes on their own. And one time I was so thirsty, it was late at night, I got nothing to drink. I look around, and what can you see in the warehouse, in the restaurant's warehouse? Soy sauce, vinegar, right? Yeah. Hot sauce? No, no, I wasn't that desperate. So I drink soy sauce and vinegar to quench my thirst. You know how it goes. It worked for the first 2 seconds. And then you hate yourself. And then after 15, 20 minutes, I need to go back and forth more because you're so thirsty. Whatever substitute you're taking is not quenching your thirst. You just need to go back more, but it's not the real thing. Same as worship. We all have the need to worship because that's how we are built. That's how we are created. And why would God do that? Why would God put in this desire of worship in every single one of us? You may question. Let me tell you, there's a good reason. First of all, because we are created, we're the only created being that is created in God's image. Right? Everything else is not created in His image. But what does it make us to be created in His image? One thing that I could know, very for sure, the sense of eternity. Because God's eternal. God is eternal. So when we are created in His being, we are created with a sense of eternity. The Bible says He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart. Yet, so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. So we have a sense of eternity, and that is what makes us superior to other creatures. Monkeys, chimpanzees, tigers, lions, elephants, they will not sit there and think about eternity. They never think about it, right? They see, the monkey, they see the banana, they eat it. They're not hungry, they leave it alone. They will never think about, like, what's going to happen 2,000 years from now? Do we have global warming? Are we destroying the universe? They're never worrying about it. They never worry about where I'm coming from, where am I going? They would never have this kind of concern. Human being would, because we are created for eternity. So we want to know what is the beginning, what is the end. And there's no beginning and there's no end. And that got us very frustrated because we are only human beings. We are not God. We are created in the image, but we're not the real thing. So we have that capacity, and we have that longingness to think about that. And because of that, we are capable to fellowship with God. So we are the only one can fellowship with God because we have something really, really in common. Now, and having talked about that, of course, and God also wants us to remember that He's a creator. And we are the created, because we have to give the honor where the honor is due, right? Parents, when you cook a nice meal for your children, you ask them, like, do you like it? Right? The second thing you want them to tell them that whether it's bought in Qing Dynasty or it's made from you, if it's really cooked from you, you know, especially daddy rarely would go to the kitchen, right? The daddy would say, I made a dish. Right? So you want your children to know that you did something nice for them. So you want to give the honor where the honor is due. God's a creator. He wants us to know that He's God and we are not. Now, one thing that because we are created in His image, we are particularly gifted. We are also created to rule because God is sovereign. So that's given to us too. So that we are very ambitious. We always make plans what to do. We try to control everything. We try to control the climate. We try to control water supply. We try to control other people. That is in our DNA because we are creating God's image. Now, having the desire to control, having the desire to plan, and having the ability to do so many things can make us very prideful, right? So it's like, I hate to use this example, but when I look at the generations, I can't help because I'm one of them too. When children grow up, they always kind of look like, am I better? When can I beat my dad? Right? Those of you know, when you play basketball with your daddy, I just asked one of the brothers, he said, have your son stopped beating you up yet? Right? And because there will be a day that you'll overcome your father, and that's a very special moment for you and for your father too. And for human beings, it's the same. We like to play God. We like to have everything under control, and we'll tend to forget that we have a God. So the best thing for us to do, for God is to keep us remembering that He is God, is come back and worship me. And he put this longingness in us. Longingness is not enough. So he put in this necessity too. We need to worship. God said in the Bible, he has promised, you come and worship me, I give you additional blessings. The Bible promises. Okay, in Deuteronomy, Moses warned the people when they were entering to the promised land, they said, you have to love and serve the Lord your God, to love and serve your God with all your heart and all your soul. That's worship. Moses said, you have to serve and love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and then he'll give you the rain for the land of the season, the early rain and the later rain, and then you can be gathered in your grain and your wine and your oil, and he will grass in the fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. God promised additional blessings, guaranteed blessings, as you worship him wholeheartedly. You can say that, hey, I don't want to, that's not salvation by work, by the way, because God still provides this so-called common grace. God still gives the rain and shine to good people and bad people. But those who really honor him, God said, I pay particular attention to you. He's not loving you anymore. He God loved everyone the same. But he promised that if you honor him, he's going to honor you the same way so that you know he's faithful. God is faithful. God loves everyone, but he's faithful in a way that he's returning his favor to you. Just like imagine if you work at a big company, and because you are such a good programmer, a good employee, you can say, I really don't care about my boss. You don't even say hi to your CEO. You compete with him for that elevator. You know, most of the CEO will put you on the blacklist. Let's say that you have a very, very good CEO and you say that I'll earn my paycheck. I don't need to flatter anybody. Good, good for you. Good for you. You might be able to survive in some company, but not all. I can guarantee you, when the first label come in, your name's going to pop in with bold character. All right? God will not go after you. But God, all he has to do is hold back the blessings from you. You want to earn your paycheck in your company? Good. How about you earn your blessings from God? Try that. Okay? Talk to God. I dare how many of you would go to God and say, God, just give me what I deserve. How many of us, I would not do that. I would never in a million years would do that. Say, God, be gracious to me. I'm a good kid. I love you. So love me more, please. Be gracious to me. Give me more grace. Every single time I pray for God, give me more grace. And those of you who pray with me, you know that. When you say, Pastor Donald, your prayer request is more grace. Don't ask for God to give you what you deserve. Because all it has to do, if it really gives you what you deserve, you'll be in trouble. So for those of you, a quick note here. If things are going well in your life, the first thing you want to check is, how's your worship life? If things are not going well in your life, first thing you need to check, we don't look that, because if you try to just work harder on what you're ever working on, all right? Of course, God doesn't, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. God does allow difficult time and things to happen to people who love him for different reasons. God still would help you find blessings in those situations. But if you're going through a difficult time and you really don't see God's presence and his blessings in your life, then your first thing you need to check is, how's your worship life going? Okay, I hope this one stays with you. It's very, very important, because unfortunately, when people and things are going well, some people, they tend to drift away from church, and that's a very bad thing. And secondly, because God's our creator, and we just sing the song, Jesus Christ is the sustainer of the universe. He sustains everything. He sustains us too. Worship is vital to our spiritual health. The psalm that we just read, where the people of his pasture and the flock in his care. People of his pasture, the flock in his care. He's our shepherd. That means he's feeding us, taking care of us every day. continuously, and we need his care, and we need his feeding. So we need worship to renew our strength. Let me explain to you why. Every single day, once you leave here, I hope this church is where the place that you can find peace and joy. If not, it's very sad, because once you leave church, people are not going to be as nice. You see more nice people at the church, right? Even the people not so nice, when they come to the church, they tend to be nicer. So when you go out there, people are not going to be as nice. So you have to put up with difficult people every day. And you're going to deal with all kind of troubles and difficulties every day. And kids, I hate to remind you, school starts soon. College students, some of them, they're gone already. And high school students, when you go back to school tomorrow, you know you're going to deal with midterms, deadline, projects. Right? People work too. You got bills to pay and the tough boss that you have to face. It's a lot of wear and tear when you go into the real world. It's like a car. You've seen a new car. Once you take them from dealership, you take to New York City and come back. 2 weeks later, you can't recognize the car. So it's the same. We manage. A lot of us, we manage. But then it's very draining. It drains you. And let me tell you, even happy things, good things drain you. Can you believe that? When I study counseling and psychology, I never learned that. He said, that's why in Chinese, they said when you have good things to happen, no more than three. Space them. If you have too many good things happen to you, some people would have serious consequence. So that's why in Chinese said, good things no more than three, or you cannot sustain it. Because even good things drains you. I remember when my first kid got married, I was so happy, because it's different when your son's getting married compared to your daughter getting married. Your son is particularly happy, right? Because Chinese, old Chinese tradition, I'm only human, I'm just telling you. I was so happy, I was laughing for the whole week. By the time the wedding is done, I got home. Guess what I did? I couldn't do anything. I was so drained. I just lie down flat. I was totally exhausted. I couldn't do anything. So when you're drained, when you are so tired, see, when you're the car that take a lot of beating, they take it to the shop, fix it up, they call tune up, right? They still use what they call service. You take it to the shop for service, and they come back, and it's like almost like new condition. And people today, you do something different. You take vacations, you take a cruise, and then hopefully come back, you regain your strength. But those are physical and emotional. For your soul, for your spiritual, you need God's presence to refill your spiritual tank. Because we are created in His image. He is the source of all blessings. That's why the Bible says, those who wait for the Lord or who hope for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. True worship, I'm talking about true worship. True worship is that when you feel that you are down and out, you're tired, you feel like I cannot go on anymore, this is just so draining. You come in, you walk out, and you are energized. You feel kind of like, bring it on, I can do it again. It's very important. And that is true worship. And true worship is when you encounter His presence. That's why the psalm that we read today on the verse 2 is that, let's come into His presence with thanksgiving. You have to enter His presence. If you don't enter His presence, it's like you try to plug your appliance to the wall outlet for charging. You have your rechargeable battery. If you don't really plug in, you don't connect. You can see the wall outlet there. You're not going to be re-energized. You have to plug in. You have to enter His presence. And next week we're going to talk about what is true worship. And then those of you, I don't know how many of you I'm longing for Sundays. I asked Jennifer yesterday too. I said, do you long for worship? Yeah, of course. I'm waiting for Sunday. Sunday is the big day that I'm waiting for every week. Because we have that longingness. And once you experience the power of the worship you wanted, you want to worship every day. That's why Psalm David said, in the Psalm David said, as the deer panted for the streams of water, my soul panted for you, O Lord. Now, so we need God to replenish our depleted energy and strength. And also, worship is very important to heal our depressed and discouraged soul. Now, how many of you face defeats when you go up there? I think most of us do. When you go in, you get yelled at by your boss. When your midterm come back, you study whole hard and you get the bad news. And adults, you might get betrayed by the people you trust very much. The thing that you work so hard, you're longing for, it doesn't work out. Some of you, an average American get laid off at least 3 times in their lifetime. When you go back, your boss tells you you no longer have a job. Worse yet, you lose a loved one in your families. Or you worry about their health, worrying about losing them. That's a discouragement, disappointment, and really beat you up. And that's how we can really lose our hope. And that's when you need worship the most. Because the Bible also reminds you that, look, why are you downcast? Because you're questioning if God is still with you. If God still loves you. And people, especially the people who know that you are questioning them, they are not, they might even mock you. Where is your God? How come your God doesn't protect you? And that's like putting salt on a wound. That's the worst feeling when you feel that God doesn't care about you anymore. I can tell you that. Confession, I did play video games, and I sometimes do play too, but I'm not in addiction. When you play video games, also you know when a team play. See, the beautiful thing about video games is when you play in a team, you don't have to be there, and they don't even know that you're there. So sometimes when I was not really into the game, I sign on and I walk away and come back, the game is still on. And then your teammate will be frustrated. And I learned this word. They said, are you AFK? Do you know that word means, right? Away from keyboard. Are you still there? Your teammate asks, are you still there? Right? So I think those of you said, all you have to do is just say, yeah, I'm here. And then say, oh, okay. You might want to ask God too, God, are you AFK? Are you here? Are you there? And then God said, yeah, I'm here. That's what you need to know. So worship is a moment that you know that God is real. He's here, he still cares about you. Yes, the world might be turning upside down. Things are going well. It's like a flood coming to you. But the Bible tells you that our Lord is still sitting and enthroned over the flood. And that is important. King David, he wrote some of the beautiful psalms, very encouraging psalms. Do you know when he wrote it? He did not write them when he was in a very good time. He wrote most of the psalm, a worship psalm, when he was in exile, when he was running for his life, when he was being chased by his own son. Things, the world seems to be, doesn't make sense to him anymore. And the reason he could still sustain and take on the difficulties, because so many times you just want to say, I want to quit. And he outlasted his troubles and became king again because he found the presence of God still with him. And then the third thing that's very important is restore our perspective in life in this crazy world. Do you agree with me that a lot of things don't make sense in this world? Those guys don't ever work. They drink with the boss and they get promoted. You do all the work and you get yelled at. When they all go to the bar, you're the only one working there. And they come back and they take the credit. They go and make a presentation. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. And the wicked people seem to be doing well. And they laugh at you too. The good people, the honest people, they have a tough time making ends meet. And they work for the people who have no regard of God and no moral. They do all kind of crazy things, and you are serving them. And they say, God, what's going on in this world? It's so unfair. And so many social injustice. And that's a very dangerous spot that you are sitting in right there, because you'll be tempted to follow them. Why can't we just do the same thing that they do? Psalm 73, the psalmist said, God, when things don't make sense, my feet had almost stumbled. There's so many temptations. I can get away with it. Why don't I do it? You go to the restaurant, when the waiter comes in and say, cash or credit? You're like, ah, cash, 10% off. So you say cash. When you pull the credit card, they look at you, kind of like you're making them life is difficult. All right? So you're tempted to just join the crowd for tax evasion. College student, I just spoke to some college student coming back. There's always a temptation in there, like you have to join people to party, to drink, to get high, or you lose a group. Because a lot of the people in college, they do crazy things. Unfortunately, the American college become the time, place for people to just go be crazy. And they use a fancy word, be yourself. Yes, be yourself. Be your sinful self. Because you know that we are sinful, nothing good in you and me. Be yourself is very bad. So, college student told me that I have a tough time because I look popular, but I have no friends. Should I lose it up? Should I loosen up and join them? I said, don't. Look to God. Go back to your family and ask for support. Call somebody and the fellowship here. We are always here for you. There's always somebody. God's presence is here. You have to find his presence. And then the same psalmist who wrote this psalm and said, I almost slipped, my feet almost stumbled. He said, the only way I can regain my senses and find perspective is when I enter your sanctuary. When I enter your presence and worship, because in worship, you realize that God is still here. And then he said, whom have I in heaven but you? God look at work on eternity. We are created for eternity. God is always in control. Don't get overwhelmed and overly troubled by the things happening around us. You regain your senses. And then another thing is, especially for young people, old people too. Have you ever wondered the why in the world that you're here? We do the same thing every day. You get up in the morning, you brush, you go to work, you come back, you change back. I don't know about you, when I was little, I thought about it, this is meaningless. I get up, I had to change clothes to go out. I don't feel comfortable with this outfit. And I come home, I had to change it back to something else. What am I doing here? What are we doing? And then every single year, you just count, this is 2018, you're 1 year older, and then so what? It's very tough to go on without a sense of purpose and meaning in your life. And then in God's presence, the Bible says, he said, Lord, you're the only one that can teach us how to number our days. Because Psalm 90, when you go home and read it, very powerful psalm. Everything we do reminds us that everything we do doesn't make sense without God. At the end, God makes everything significant. Even though you simply get up and say hi to your neighbor, very casual gesture, God can make it very meaningful and significant because his eternal plan. It's only God can help us that to number our days. He reminds us that before we were born, he knew of our being already. When you are still in your mom's womb, God already knew us. He has a plan for us. He knows every single hair that we have. Every single thing happening in our day, on every single day, he knows. We just need to find this plan and live according to it. And then our life will become meaningful. That's why worship is so important for us to replenish our strength, our energy and strength, to heal our wounds, to help us to, and also to find hope and help us to find purpose and, this, and direction in life. That's why I can basically tell how well you are doing in your spiritual life, in your worship life. Because those who don't worship well, you don't worship, don't come in here worship with passion, you're going to burn out. You will burn out, guaranteed, because apart from God, we can do nothing. You can pretend it. You can pretend and go through the motion and do everything. Eventually, you will burn out. That's why the psalm that we just read today, verse 8, it said, do not harden your heart. Because if you harden your heart, you will never get to enter God's rest. You can go on vacation, find that man-made rest, but you will never find that rest inside of your heart. Because true rest is available only in God's presence. And those of you, if you find worship is a chore, or you're missing out from worship, we are worried about you. Because you already burn out, you're on the verge of burning out. Now, and also worship will help your relationship with one another. Very simple. You worship God, you're humble before Him, you know how gracious He is, how sinful you are. If two, three people honestly worshiping together and encounter God's presence, how can you conflict with one another? I've seen couples, I know that Lord said that you have to reconcile your relationship before you can come and worship Him. And that's an emphasis on how important is to reconcile your relationship. But I'm telling you, don't skip worship because you were fighting with somebody. You should come in here more so, because I have seen couples, they're in a fight, they couldn't stand each other, they come to worship, once they encounter God's presence, everything else is not important. They can just come together. Worship will give you the unity, the harmonious relationship that we cannot generate. And of course, worship is very important for our life and ministry. The church theme for this year is ready for every good work. How do you get ready for every good work? Read more Bible? Have more training skills? No. Get ready for every good work, personally or as a church. Everything has to begin with worship. Worship, worship, worship. It's through worship we enter God's presence. It's through worship we enter into His will. Now, because entering the God's presence is transforming. Have you heard this phrase before? You become what you worship, or you become who you worship. Those of you know, you worship the sports star, you're going to walk and move just like this person. Those young boy, if you worship, you follow Jeremy Lin, you're going to learn his move. You're going to learn how to play it like him. You enter God's presence, you're going to gradually be like Him. If you truly worship Him. If you don't become more like God day by day, then I question your worship. And worship also requires you to surrender yourself. Everything we design here help you to surrender yourself. Do you know why that we have people sit here, then only Pastor Donald's talking and you're not talking? I know some people say, why don't you let me talk? It's surrender. It's surrender. We surrender. We have proceedings here. There's not a free flow that you would like to just do whatever you want to do. God gave us specific procedures to follow in the Old Testament that you have to surrender your own will to follow the direction given to you by God through the church with the purpose to how to be edified. Well, you have to surrender yourself before you can be taught. So once you surrender your will, you encounter God's presence, your life starts to change. And once you understand God's truth, His holiness, and that's the only way that can help you from the deception of the world. That's why in Romans chapter 12, he said, first, you have to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And then he's talking about, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You worship first, and then you can talk about not to conform, not the other way around. And true worship also give us the strength and power that we can walk and carry out God's will. Because good work, as I mentioned before, has to come from God. We don't know what's good. But God's plan is good. God got a good plan for us individually, how we're going to conduct ourselves in our personal life, how we work, how we interact with our family, our neighbors, and God's got a plan for the church also. So sum it up, brothers and sisters, I just want to remind one another, including myself, worship is in our DNA. We all worship. Remember this. We all worship. The question is, you have to ask yourself, who are you worshiping and what are you worshiping? And then secondly, then it's also a check that are you truly worshiping God? True worship will renew your strength and satisfy your soul. So ask yourself, every single time when you come and worship, get together, do you feel that being lifted up? If not, something is wrong with the worship. Talk to the church and talk to me, talk to the co-workers. We need to talk. We need to talk. Because false worship have a lot of damages. We're going to talk about it next time. And true worship will help you to restore a sense of direction and meaning in life, your perspective. Do you feel that the things become better in clarity in you after worship or not? Again, as I mentioned, true worship really transforms us. So have you noticed any change in your life as you're worshiping God? Now, because it's so important, I really advise you that on a personal level, we should have personal worship. Don't wait for Sundays because it's too long. Personal worship is at least do it once a week. Do it every day if you could. Like, you drink every day, don't you? Like you eat and drink every day. Right? Treat worship as vital. You need it every day. But at least once a week. Block away some time, personal time, and you can think about God, enter his presence with thanksgiving. Think about what good thing that has done for you. Sing praises to him. A good thing about personal worship is you don't have to be a good singer. Right? Put yourself in the bathroom and wherever, and nobody cares about what you're singing. All right? And then you say a few words to go thanks and talk to him. That's personal worship. You need quiet time. And then the corporate worship, prepare yourself for worship. Take it seriously. Too many of us that we look at this like, it's almost like going to a restaurant that you're waiting for a table. It's just, I see people waiting outside and come in here, just sit down and okay, let's get going. A good worship, because we need to prepare ourselves for worship. We have to prepare. Allow yourself some time before the worship to come in a little bit early. Prepare yourself. You can calm down, wind down. Because even when you go to sleep, you need to prepare to sleep, right? Not too many of you just hit the bed and start snoring. So when you want to enter God's presence, the same thing. You probably want to prepare yourself. And then try to participate. Everything designed here help you to get into the worship. You don't worship by watching other people worship. Some people come in here, look at watching other people worship, and you say, I worship. No, you didn't. You're a spectator. You watch other people worship. Just engage. Sing. I don't have a good voice. Who cares? Right? God said you have a beautiful voice. Your voice comes from God. And the people cannot really stand you. He'll probably stand 2 steps away from you anyway. So sing and participate. Very important. Surrender. And seek God's presence. And tell God and say, I need you. Show me your presence. And take a thing about that. And don't keep watching your cell phone and waiting for a text message to show up. And some people like to, I know that some of you love to text each other jokes and doing worship. And look, it's fine because you're doing yourself a disservice. You're not doing anything to me. I'm worshiping. You want to cut off your supply of grace, you are doing yourself a disservice. Right? And we talk about it because it's so important. We're going to spend one more week going to talk about true worship and why we're doing everything we do and the importance of co-workers. Today, I just hope you to remember one thing. You need to eat. You need to drink. You need to breathe. You need worship. And don't go for substitute. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for being our creator, and thank you for creating us.